encouraging us to bless others, especially our children. Here's Pastor Ed Ray.
God has given us this great privilege to bless others, to bless our children. And in the process, we're communicating our faith in God and our faith in them that God has created them to be a world changer.
Zion now filled with hands, and in this place God will dwell with man. Sick be healed and the crippled stand, singing hallelujah. My kingdom built with the blood of my son, selfless sacrifice for everyone. Faith, hope, love and harmony. I said let this world know me by your love.
Someone has said that being loved is the greatest blessing, but it's second to loving. And to love your neighbor, Jesus said, is second only to loving God. More on that in a moment. But first, let me welcome you to Grow in Grace with Pastor Ed Ray. We've come in our study of Hebrews 11 to the blessing section, and we'll hear of Isaac blessing Jacob, and Jacob in turn passing on the blessing. It's something we too are called to do. We're not only to receive the blessing of God by faith, but also pass it on. To learn how, from Hebrews chapter 11, picking up in verse 20, here's Pastor Ed.
By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel from Egypt, and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. The Hall of Faith, this chapter has been called. It's actually also a brief history of the blessings that are encoded, that are placed in the Old Testament. There's many different kinds of blessing. Growing up in an Irish home, I love the one that said, may you be in heaven 30 minutes before the devil finds out you're dead. Old Irish blessing. When God created Adam and Eve, the first thing he did was to bless them. And he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, subdue and have dominion. When God blessed Abraham, he said in Genesis 12, I will bless you and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. So the blessing of Abraham has literally impacted the history of the world. It goes on to this day. We'll see as we get a little further into this. Then God blessed Isaac, and he blessed Jacob and Joseph and Moses. They in turn blessed their children and their children's children all the way down to this day. So, how do we find those blessings for ourselves and for our families? We are looking at the subject of faith, but within it is this concept of blessing. Biblical faith is the main point of Hebrews chapter 11. Faith in the Bible always has an object, and the object is God. Faith is always talking about Him in Scripture. That's not to say that there aren't other kinds of faith in the world. There are. Everyone has faith. There's a certain measure of faith given to everyone. But biblical faith, what we're looking at, definition is in verse 1 of this chapter. There it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word substance means foundation. So faith is the foundation of things anticipated. That's what hope means, things that are expected good that are coming. The evidence of things invisible that you can't see. So it is, of course, faith in God, who is invisible, that this verse is pointing us to. That's not easy. We grow up from the earliest age learning to respond to our environment, people around us, things, by our five senses. And we become more and more dependent upon our five senses. The problem arises that when we reach adolescence or worse, adulthood, and we still are relying only on the five senses, that we miss a whole nother world, a spiritual world that surrounds us and will ultimately be where we'll spend eternity. So it says that faith is not faith in faith, but faith in a person. And we know that to meet that person requires faith. So there's a little bit of a problem there. In verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he or she, the person who comes to God, must believe that God is, and that he, God, is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. So to actually find a relationship with God requires that we have faith, that we believe, that we trust, that we rely on that he's there and he can hear. That's a little bit difficult, particularly if you've spent your whole life relying on your five senses. So this is a list of faithful men and women who stepped outside of that bubble of five senses and looked for those things that are spiritual, that are outside of these material things that we've become accustomed to. So these are people who did great exploits and accomplishments in the kingdom of God because they had faith in a person, God, and had a personal relationship with him. We exercise faith regularly when we are stepping out into new territories, when we take ventures of faith. When we move into territory we've never moved into in spiritual ways. That's what God is saying. Come a little further. Come a little more. Exercise the faith that you have. Romans 12:3 says that every person has been given a measure of faith, which means that the measures are slightly different. You may have more faith than the person next to you. You may have very little faith than the person next to you. But it only requires the faith of a tiny seed, a mustard seed, Jesus said, to move mountains. So it doesn't take very much. The world runs on faith, although they would deny it vehemently. You're exercising faith here in this room, even if you're not exercising faith in God. You have faith in the building codes of San Bernardino County. That's a frightening thought, isn't it? I have faith in government, at least the ability to apply the laws to the engineers who designed the roof, the architect. The car that you drive is, in fact, an exercise in faith every time you turn the key. And for some of us, that's more of an adventure than we had planned for, right? So these different kinds of faith show up in different titles. Humanists have trust in humanity, the ingenuity of man to work things out. The materialists have faith in the natural thing. The philosopher, faith in his own mind. The scientist has faith in his ability to measure and to have it reproduce in other places in the world. That it's always the same everywhere. Those of us who have chosen, and it is a choice, to believe, to seek after God, and then God shows himself strong and we get drawn in deeper and deeper. Even though my eyes, I'll put it on myself, even though my eyes cannot see God, even though my hands cannot touch God, even though I never heard his voice audibly, I can tell you with great assurity that he's here right now. His word says so. The Bible says that when we gather in the name of Jesus, he's in our midst. But I sensed him when you were worshiping. Most of you know what I'm talking about. And it is just as real to sense his presence, particularly in the midst of worship, sometimes even more so than a physical contact with him. So this section is talking about this kind of faith, and it actually shows us four individuals way back who have experienced faith in their life. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses. Now, if you've never studied the Old Testament, this is like a short course in it. This is like a summer school. This is a very small snapshot of each one of these individuals. And then there's the second heroine of faith, Rahab, that's mentioned at the end. So actually, there's five people here who lived the life of faith, and they're given to us to encourage us to do the same.
You've tuned to Grow in Grace with Pastor Ed Ray, who's taking us through Hebrews chapter 11. And we're very glad you're with us. We continue now with these examples of faith we're to follow. With our first example, Isaac, picking up with verse 20, here's Pastor Ed.
By faith, and that's a familiar statement now that will continue through most of this section. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. So Isaac is the son of Abraham, the father of the faith, he's called. And he was the young man that was taken up Mount Moriah, the same place where Jesus was crucified, to be offered as a sacrifice, and God supplied a lamb. So we come into his life as he is praying for, blessing his two sons. Now, Jacob is listed first because he was given preeminence, but he is actually the second born. They were twins, non-identical twins, and Jacob and Esau are very different. Jacob was smooth skin, it said, and he was a mama's boy, liked to hang out in the house, wore soft clothes, it said. His brother, Esau, was full beard and a four-wheel drive sort of jeepster guy. Of course, this is a long time ago. And just trying to get you to have that picture. And when his mother, Rebecca, set this thing up for the father to bless the two of them, she was in on deceiving because she liked the soft son. And she put on him goat fur. They had killed the goat, and she put on his arms goat hair because Esau's name means hairy, not H-A-R-R-Y, but H-A-I-R-Y, hairy. And so hairy and heel catcher, which is what Jacob's name means, just substitute the word liar. So liar and hairy are in front of the father, and the father thinks when he feels the arm of Jacob that it's his hairy son because he had this goat fur on. This is a crazy story because dad was blind. He feels the arm, he says, yep, that's my boy, that kind of thing. And he blesses him. Well, that's exactly what God wanted him to do. He blesses him as the firstborn, which is almost non-existent in our culture, but in that culture, the one who was the firstborn would get twice the inheritance as the rest of the children, and he would be responsible for taking care of their parents in their old age. But he became kind of the boss of the family. Well, God saw it as in the eyes of bringing the Messiah into the world. So it would not be through Esau, it would be through Jacob that the Messiah would come. Now, mom is having trouble, Rebecca, when the babies are both in her. She's got twins, which is a problem in itself. Verse 23, the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Whoa. That's a lot of baby. Two people shall be separated from your body. One person shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. And that became faith, to believe that through one of these boys would come the blessing that God had made to their grandfather, Abraham. Now, if you catch this one, you'll catch the whole rest of it. That God is thinking about, looking at, choosing the line for the Messiah to come from. He would not come through the land of Edom or Esau. He would come through Judah, who would come through Jacob. So God is directing this whole thing in great detail, a long time, 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years before Jesus came. And again, the picture is God can handle your life if you'll place your faith in him. So this young man becomes Jacob, becomes the line, and he's described here in the next verse. So by faith, Jacob himself, and we fast forward to when he's dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, his son. So he blesses these grandsons and worships leaning on the top of his staff. Okay, so we could spend a lot of time taking this all apart, but the son, Joseph, the son of Jacob, would become his dad's favorite. And you know the story if you went to Sunday school growing up, because this is the son who received the coat of many colors, Joseph, all right? Dad's favorite, dad gives him this coat, the other brothers get jealous. Finally, they take him, throw him in a hole, they sell him to some slave traders that come by, and he ends up going to Egypt. But Jacob himself, his name means liar, heel catcher, deceiver. And as he comes to death, he shows himself a man of faith because he pronounces a blessing and he chooses two sons of, or two grandsons, if you will, of Joseph. And he's praying for them. And they're Ephraim and Manasseh. Okay, so hang in there. Stay with me and it'll all come together in a minute. Jacob is showing faith by expecting what his grandfather had received from God, that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars, as the grains of sand on the earth. And so Jacob says, I'm going to believe that. And he blesses these two boys. And then he worships God and he leans on his staff. Now, just to make it a little more confusing, Jacob has two names in the Bible. First one is liar. That's what Jacob means. But then he had an argument with an angel one night, and he wrestled with God, and God finally touched his hip and knocked it out of joint. And he said, you're going to be ruled by God, whether you like it or not. And his name means ruled by God. He did like it, and he surrendered to that. So Israel, ruled by God, is Jacob. But he's usually called Jacob because it means liar. Now, here's the good news for you and I. This group of heroes of the faith, they're a mess. The heroes of the Bible are flawed. And the pictures, the portraits that are painted by the Bible, over in the original books, Genesis, the Old Testament books, discuss all their sins right out there in front. That's why one of the reasons I believe the Bible's got to be true, because you're sure not going to paint these guys with all their sins and then say, these are the patriarchs. This is where the faith comes from if it wasn't true. Why in the New Testament does it not discuss their sins? Because Hebrews 8:12, we saw, says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. That's why they're not in the New Testament, because over in the Old Testament, they actually confess their sins, God forgave them, and now he's called a hero of the faith. And he's worshiping God in this picture, leaning on the staff that he needed because God had to touch his thigh, and he couldn't walk without a cane kind of a thing. So there's one other thing you have to see here. By faith, Jacob is blessing these two, and he actually crosses his hands. And he puts the right hand, which would be for the preeminent son, over on the left one. And prays that way with a cross. Not the first time it happened. It happened with Seth and Cain in Genesis 4, Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau. Here it's happening again. Why are we spending time in that? Because that blessing is something that you can do too. Something that God wants you to do in your life. What? Well, those of you that have been going here a while, you know that I love dedications. I just love kids in general. But I love to have a mom and dad come up with their little daughter or son and pray for them and pray that God would do wonderful things through that kid. That's blessing them. Now, those of you that have children, you should be doing the same thing for your children, grandchildren, every kid that walks by. I do it a lot around here. When I grab my own grandson, I'm praying for him. God, use this young man to change the world. When I hug my granddaughter, I'm saying the same thing, because here we have it happening, a grandfather praying for his grandchildren. Now, it's not just a cute little spiritual thing. It has deep, resonating impact on the child's life. There are many studies that say this is true outside of Christianity, even. If you go to Israel today, and you should go, and you meet an Orthodox Christian family, and you're talking to the dad, and he's got a bunch of his children there, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, he'll introduce his kids to you very politely. And he'll say, "This is Harry the doctor." The doctor, he's only 7. He's speaking of blessing. He's speaking of the faith that his son's going to impact the world and help people. Now, his son may not become a doctor, a physician, but he's showing the kid listening that his dad values him and can see the gifts that God gave the son. And this is my lawyer, Miriam, my daughter. And he goes down the list of kids like that, speaking it out. Now, UCLA did a study about 25 years ago that probably wouldn't even fly today, but it turned out to be true. They took 450 mothers who had 4 or more children by at least 4 husbands or 4 boyfriends. And the study was to see the impact of not having a father in the home that showed affection and encouragement to their children. The result was, as you would expect, that none of these women as children had a significant male figure in their lives who touched them meaningfully and spoke positive things into their life. God has given us this great privilege to bless others, to bless our children. And in the process, we're communicating our faith in God and our faith in them, that God has created them to be a world changer. So within this section of scripture is embedded this picture of the blessing. There's a couple of great books, one called The Blessing, that's worth reading. I would encourage you to read it if you're a parent or expecting to be a parent or a grandparent, and begin to apply it in your life to other people. So that was just a little side pass. We're back on track here with verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. This is a long story. It's a great story. It's worthy of you looking at in Genesis 38, 39. So Joseph, the youngest son who had the coat of many colors, gets sold into slavery, goes to Egypt, ends up being a slave under Potiphar's house. Then he gets thrown in prison, accused of something he didn't do. And finally, he gets out of prison, and he works his way up, and he becomes second in command of Egypt. He becomes the right-hand man of Pharaoh. And he rescues his father and his sons who had sold him into slavery, not the father, but the sons did, and brings them to Egypt.
Thanks for being with us for Grow in Grace. We're studying Hebrews with Pastor Ed Ray. Now, if you joined us late or you just want to hear this again, go online to thepackinghouse.org. We archive our programs there for you so you can listen anytime you'd like. Or call and ask for a CD copy at 844-77-GRACE. Now, you know, it takes a team to bring you Grow in Grace, and we look to our listeners to help make this all possible. We have an exciting resource to tell you about. It's a book titled Eternity in Their Hearts by Don Richardson. In this excellent book, Richardson shows how God has prepared the way for the gospel by setting eternity in the hearts of men and women throughout the ages. We'll send you this special offer with our thanks when you support Grow in Grace today with a gift of any amount. And as you give, you'll be helping many others around the country and around the world to grow in grace as well. Just give us a call at 844-77-GRACE. That's 844-77-GRACE. Now, even if you're not in a position to be able to give, we still want to hear from you. Your email would be a great encouragement to Pastor Ed. This lets us know we're growing. Grace is having an impact by God's grace. Our email address is packinghouseradio@aol.com. That's packinghouseradio@aol.com. Then join us for the next Grow in Grace as our study of Hebrews continues with Pastor Ed Ray. This program is brought to you by the Packing House Christian Fellowship in Redlands, California.
Zion, all now filled with hands, and in this place God will dwell with man. Sick be healed and the crippled stand, singing hallelujah. My kingdom built with the blood of my son, selfless sacrifice for everyone. Faith, hope, love, and harmony. I said, let this world know